Jason, the Bears pick is in. We will break it down coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears picked at number 25 on Thursday night, and they chose Dylan Thienemann, safety, University of Oregon. Thoughts?
That pick is fine. That's fine. That's a good pick. It's not what I would have done, but it's not crazy. They took the second best player available in the entire draft at a position of need. As of right now, the Bears would go into, as of before the draft, I should say, the Bears were going into the season, Patrick, with a really wide open spot in the starting lineup at safety. And that's not good. All the candidates for that are guys that have mostly been backups. No real proven options there. So that's not good. And it's wise to address that. My issue with the pick is safety tends to be a pick that you can address later. It's not a premium position. It's A, not a place where you would double up on investment in your roster typically by paying Kobe Bryant and using a first round pick on Dylan Thienemann. Thienemann. And whereas defensive end, left tackle, defensive tackle, those are spots that are very tough to do even late in the first round. But because there was such a run on offensive tackles, which would have been my priority if I was the Bears, but there was such a run on offensive tackles and wide receivers, and that set the Bears up, I thought, pretty well to do something on the defensive line, and they didn't.
I've been doing a little bit of research for a story in the Sun-Times that should run on Friday. So since 2017, 90 defensive linemen have been drafted in round one. Whether you want to call them a D-tackle or a defensive end or an outside linebacker, we're just going to call them defensive linemen, all right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
30 teams have taken one. The Bears are one of the two who have not, along with the New England Patriots. This feels to me like the quarterback thing, you know, that even when Jay Cutler was ending his kind of usefulness here, like, you know, the Bears weren't trying to invest in a first-round quarterback. The Bears were bemoaning not having a quarterback and then going and drafting other positions in that round. I don't understand how they expect to fill, what, the second most important position on the field, the third most important position on the field, if they don't devote resources to it. Now, the caveat is, well, the Bears traded two first-round picks for Khalil Mack in 2018. Okay, fine. But, you know, you need these guys, and you need them to be cost-controlled. And that's how you put together a defense around a quarterback who you're going to have to write a new contract for, you know, in a year. And they didn't do that. I just think that even if you think that the defensive ends that were out there had flaws, like, you have to try to solve this position. And they've done nothing this offseason to do it, despite screaming from the rooftops the minute the season ended that rushing the passer was something they absolutely had to improve.
Yeah, I like that you brought up defensive ends with flaws, because when you're picking 25th, I mean, that does get tougher in terms of premium positions like defensive end. And what the Bears would tell you is, rather than picking one of the flawed defensive ends that Patrick mentioned, they took a perfect safety on their board. They took a guy that didn't have flaws at a different position. But I agree with everything you just said. And on top of that, I mean, you mentioned the finances. You're getting ready to pay a quarterback. By the way, you were already in a salary cap crunch before that. You were already in a salary cap crunch this year. That's why DJ Moore got traded. That's reason number one. If you make a pie chart, getting a second round pick was pretty good, but the majority of it was they had to get out of that $25 million a year. You're not saving that much money in the long run drafting a safety in the first round compared to the three other positions we're mentioning. If you hit on an offensive tackle, defensive end, or defensive tackle in the first round, they're good. They're like top 10 in the league good. You're probably saving somewhere around $20 million a year compared to an equivalent veteran at one of those positions. At safety, it's not nearly that kind of savings. Just like last year when they drafted Colston Loveland, it's not nearly that type of savings. The other thing is they have sunk resources into the defensive line. It just hasn't been money well spent. They put up something like $90 million over 3 years for Odengbo at defensive end and Jarrett at defensive tackle. And they can get out of a third of that at the end of this season, but they're locked into it now. Pat, the only way you fix free agent signings that don't work like that is through the draft. You can't throw more money at those positions. You have to do it in the draft. And again, Dylan Thienemann, I'm working on that. Dylan Thienemann, he could be a star. And in fact, he's got probably a very good chance. He may have a better chance than somebody like Keldrick Falk from Auburn, the defensive end, or Zion Young, the defensive end from Missouri. Dylan Thienemann might have a better chance of becoming a star, but you need a star at defensive end. And I believe it was you that asked Ryan Poles Friday night, very late Friday night, Thursday night. I'm sorry. We get Ryan Poles very late Thursday night after the first round and very late Friday night after the second and third round.
It leads into Friday morning almost. So yeah.
And I think Patrick, you asked him, so what about the defensive ends? I mean, you asked it much more eloquently than that. What about the pass rush? And Ryan Poles even said in his answer that, you know, all these things work together. I will admit, usually it's more so the pass rush helps the secondary than the other way around. And he's kind of trying to craft this response of, well, if our coverage is so good, then it gives our defensive line time to get to the quarterback. When that's some interesting rationalization. Nobody really looks at it like that. Everybody looks at it the opposite way. And this is where the Bears sit right now. Tell me what you think about this. They have assembled a very good secondary. They've been pretty strong at corner for a while here with Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, and kind of trying to figure out who can be the best out of Nashawn Wright, who's gone, Tyreek Stevenson, who's still here, and Terrell Smith, who's still here. And then I think they've recovered well from losing Brisker and Byard in free agency. But Pat, they've built this really good secondary, but they're undercutting it by not having a pass rush. It doesn't work the way Ryan Poles is kind of trying to force it to work in his answer to your question.
Yeah, they recovered well in replacing their two safeties because they made one safety the only expensive free agent they signed this offseason. And the other safety, their first round pick. Those are resources that could have, should have gone somewhere else. And you could argue to me that in free agency, there were no great edge rushers out there. Or the ones that were great were old and probably out of your price range. But boy, you know, they had the second worst pass rush win rate in the NFL last year. And the worst was the Bengals, who Jason and I, you and I, were in Cincinnati when the Bears played them. It might have been the worst professional defense I've ever seen. Like, that's the only team worse than you were.
Yeah, they're easy. The Bengals are easy.
Yeah, at beating the, you know, they were the only team worse at beating their pass blocker. And, I mean, shoot, even the Bengals went and traded for Dexter Lawrence. Like, I don't know. I was walking my kid to school today, and he said, "Is the Oregon guy good?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "So the Bears did good." And I said, "I don't know." And I tried to explain to him the idea of premium positions. And he wasn't, he ran off to school without letting me kind of finish my thought. Which, by the way, good for him. Way too early for my nonsense. but I mean, it's, you know, Ryan Poles came out on Thursday night and said, Thienemann reminds me of Colston Loveland. In the sense that, you know, he loves football. He's got, you know, football is what matters to him. There's not a whole lot of, you know, outside BS. And that's true. And I think they're really similar in the sense that you just used a first round pick on the least valuable position on that side of the ball. And I think it's easy if I'm the Bears to sit there and say, hey, you know, you could have had similar concerns about drafting Colson Loveland last year. And that turned out pretty well, didn't it? Like, that's a fair enough argument. But I don't think just because Colson Loveland turned into a good player that Dylan Thienemann is now a really smart first round pick.
Yeah. The pick's fine. We agree, right? I mean, it's fine. Yeah. You know, we don't have a problem with the pick. I just would have done, I will say flatly, I would have done something else. And it seems like you're implying that you also would have done something else. If they had taken Price, the running back from Notre Dame, I'd be sitting here saying, oh, that's really a crazy pick. You have way too many needs to be doing something like that. Mm-hmm. Even if they'd have taken a wide receiver in the first round, I think I'd probably say, yeah. Your priorities are out of whack here. This isn't crazy. This is fine. But that's all it is to me. Okay, if Dylan Thienemann becomes a really good safety, that's great. But, you know, if you look at the red flags on this team, I know that everyone's excited about Dylan Thienemann, and you can be and you should be. He's probably going to be very good. But you're about to, right now, Pat, you are about to go into the season again with this free-for-all at left tackle. I mean, I'm putting that third most important on the list of positions, premium position. I'm going quarterback, D-end, left tackle. You're going to go into the season with, you know, Karan Amagaji is going to be a candidate, and Theo Benedict and Braxton Jones. I mean, it's going to be wide open again at that position. Maybe they'll address it Friday night with a second-round pick, but it's really the success rate at that point gets lower. If you look at the other red flags on this team, you know, the Bears went to the second round last year. They won their division. They went to the second round of the playoffs. So the next step needs to be NFC championship game, Super Bowl contention, that kind of stuff. And on paper, the roster doesn't look like it's better than it was last year. You'd have to account for all of this growth that is faith right now in Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze and Luther Burden and players like that, but you don't know. You don't know that's going to happen. The other red flags that tell you this team is not at that level, besides a major concern at left tackle, is that this defense wasn't actually very good and steady last year. And Ben Johnson has started admitting that in his comments over the past month. They were not good at the two things you really have to be good at: pass rush and stopping the run. They negated those, they offset those problems and compensated for them by leading the league in takeaways. But there is no assumption on their part, let alone on ours, that they can do that again. And so if you don't, again, you look at games last year where they didn't get takeaways, they didn't get many or any, their defense was in big trouble. And you haven't fixed your pass rush or your run stop. You have not, you didn't address two really key spots on the defense. I could not have been drafting for the Bears Thursday night and taken a safety. I couldn't have done it. I would have said it has to be one of these positions: left tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle.
Yeah, we're judging Thienemann against kind of the opportunity cost that the Bears used, like not against whether he's going to be a good player or not. You're right about the left tackle problem. And I think there was a time in the draft on Thursday night where it looked like that there was going to be a couple of pretty good left tackles available.
Yeah, like 10 picks in, you probably thought that.
Yeah, 8 picks in, nobody'd been taken. And then in the 14 picks, in the 15 picks between number 9 and when the Bears went, 6 guys came off the board.
I think, and a guard, right? I think six tackles. Offensive tackles and a guard.
Yeah, Spencer Fanoe to the Browns. Francis Maui Goa, I'm sorry, I may butcher that, went to the Giants. Caden Proctor went to the Dolphins. And more tackles. Blake Miller went to the Lions. That was the guy you had mocked to the Bears in our final mock draft. Monroe Freeling went to the Panthers. And Max Ahanachor went to the Steelers. Like,
and Pat, the guys that were available were Caleb Lomu of Utah, went 3 picks later to the Patriots.
New England, yep.
Peter Woods, the defensive tackle from Clemson, went 29th to the Chiefs. And Keldrick Falk from Auburn that we mentioned went 31st to the Titans. So those guys, you know, we're talking about most of what you and I talk about is based on stuff we're reading, mock drafts, things like that. This is the league telling you, hey, these guys were like worthy of the 25th overall pick because they went 28th to 31st.
Yes. Yeah. They were in the same cloud, for lack of a better word.
That's a great way to say it.
Yes. And that's a Ryan Poles word. He says cloud.
No, it's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah. They were in a similar cloud.
But what Poles is telling us on Friday night is to the effect of all those guys we just mentioned. Did I keep saying the wrong day? Thursday night. Basically to the effect of all those guys we just mentioned are like, you know, B- prospect grades, whereas Thieneman is an A grade, just at a different position.
Yeah, and that may be the case, and that's what makes this debate so interesting is, would you rather have a good prospect at, like I said, safety, no offense to those safeties out there, safety is the least important position on the field on defense. It's the one that teams usually cheap out on first. And, you know, if the Bears had paired Kobe Bryant with a fourth-round pick, I don't think anybody would have thought that was interesting.
I mean, you can spend either draft capital or actual money, but you spend on one out of the two. That's the move.
Well, and you know, and the Seahawks are a great example of a team that had two really good safeties. But you know what? When it came time to pay Kobe Bryant left. You know, they could have doubled down their investment at the position, and they decided not to. So I think that should tell you something. Jason, depending on what time people listen to this, this may age very poorly, but in terms of what's available on day two, you know, I think it's silly to list too many names just because the Bears draft so late in the second round, 57 and 60 are the numbers, and then again in the third round. But are we united in thinking that they better come out of this thing with a D lineman or two and maybe an offensive lineman?
Somewhat. I mean, the later it gets in the draft, the less I care about positions. So I still do care somewhat in the second round and a little bit in the third round, and then I don't care after that. You need to just get the best talent you think you can find into your building, no matter the position. Ryan Poles or some GMs might disagree with you. They might with me. They might say, hey, you need to pick best available within some parameters the whole time. But if good guys are there, I think, Patrick, maybe the better move would be package those picks, move up, and get a near first round answer at defensive tackle or defensive end. If you can basically trade 2 second round picks for one, move up in the second round and get somebody like Zion Young from Missouri or Caden McDonald, the defensive tackle from Ohio State, I think that'd be a pretty good move for the Bears. I would like that over waiting around till 57 and 60. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, TJ Parker, Cassius Howell, Zion Young, those are the names left at defensive end as you and I sit here right now. Caden McDonald and Lee Hunter. Lee Hunter, I like a lot. He's the Texas Tech defensive tackle. Not quite the run stuffer that Caden McDonald was at Ohio State, but a little bit better of a pass rusher. I think he could make sense. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather come away with somebody who will be a rotation piece right away than two dart throws. I don't know whether this late in the second round is still a dart throw or not. Poles was interesting the other night when he said that this is the year that they are being really, really strict about what players on their board fit the culture. And some of it is that Ben Johnson knows what kind of player he wants and what kind of player fits what they're doing.
I think the culture and the playing system, right?
Yeah. In the sense, I'm sorry. Yeah. That fits what they're doing. And I think that, you know, part of that is because of Ben, and, you know, he needs a very specific kind of guy. And I think the other part of it is they've got a good thing going. And for the first time in a long time, they can sit there with a straight face and say, we don't want to screw this. We don't want to screw up a good thing. And I think, you know, that's where the focus on football character and all that stuff comes from. he said last night, you know, that he looks at the list of guys who are available on day two and it's thin. And like that keeps him up at night. And then he goes, well, it being thin is a good thing because we know what we believe in. I think a trade up situation makes sense, Jason, only if the list of available players is so thin that Ryan would feels the need to jump up and do that. You know, I'd also add that if they want to go offensive tackle, you know, they could do that. And, you know, Caleb Tiernan at Northwestern is going to go in, you know, mid to late round two or early round three. He's got a lot of Ozzie Trapillo in him in the sense that he started for years and is about the same size. They're both just gigantic human beings. I think Tiernan is 6'7" and a half, 330 pounds, something like that. Maybe that's a way to add some competition at the left tackle spot, especially if you're not sure that Trapillo's going to be healthy this year or, you know, let's be honest, at all going forward, you know, beyond this year.
Yeah. So, yeah. Basically, if you haven't heard us discuss this before, by the way, you know, the reason left tackle is such an issue, even though they addressed it a year ago by drafting Trapillo and him, and he played pretty well, he was progressing, is that they've already said he's likely to miss the season. Mm-hmm. Most or all of the season is a given right now. And fact is, this is career threatening, this knee injury. That doesn't mean career ending, but career threatening right now. There is no telling if he'll come back, how he'll come back at some point. And I think that's too important of a position to just hope for the best. I think you'd be, they would be really wise, whether it's, you know, whether it had been a first round pick or it ends up being a second round pick, to make a long-term move at left tackle that they feel good about. And if Ozzie Trapillo comes back, then the surplus is a good thing. You can trade somebody.
Yeah. He has a patellar tendon tear. That's one of the ones you don't want to get along with an Achilles injury. The patellar tendon connects the knee to the shin. So when it blows, that's a scary bad thing. Yeah, we'll
Pat,
see.
Pat, Caden McDonald is a guy I'd really like. Mm-hmm. Getting back to our conversation about best available. ESPN Scouting rating has him as the fifth best player available going into Friday night. If the Bears see an opportunity to trade the 2 second-round picks to move up high enough to get him, and it's probably going to be kind of pick by pick, see how far he goes, see how much they'd have to give up, I'd be in favor of that. Go get a guy that you think is first round worthy instead of getting 2 second-round picks toward the end of the round.
You went to his pro day. What do you think of him there?
I think he's really good. I think he's a guy, I know he's a guy that they've spent a lot of time on and a lot of time with. I mean, they're high on him, but not high enough to draft him 25th over Dylan Thienemann. And we'll see if they like him enough to trade up into the top of the second round to get him, because he's probably going first 10 picks of the second round.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason, before we get out of here, one more question for you. This has been a different experience for you and I than what we're used to. The Bears, in the time you and I have covered the team before or together, have not been good. And because of that, the draft is a really important thing in their world, because it's a time when they try to get saviors and people to come in and turn this thing around. And if you're a fan, it's kind of the prize you get for suffering through a lot of losses. This isn't the case this year. Do you like this better? And what was draft like night like for you on Thursday?
Well, it's great for the Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about some of the last few guys they've drafted. I mean, you're counting on your first round pick, Caleb Williams, Romo Odunze, Darnell Wright, you're Justin Fields, if you want to go back before the Ryan Poles era. You're counting on these guys. Oh, my goodness. Just like you said, Patrick, you're desperate. You're coming in here and you're going to be one of the five most important people in the locker room right now today. It's not the case with Dylan Thienemann. That's not the case with the Bears going into the 2026 season. All the guys that they're counting on the most are already here. They were already in the building. They've been in the building. This is going to be more of a normal rookie experience for Dylan Thienemann, where you're not coming in and trying to help turn things around. You're coming into a situation that's been turned around and now you get on board and contribute to it. From a draft standpoint, from a draft coverage standpoint for us, it was really hard to figure out who they might end up with because they're picking so late. They're picking 25th. I mean, any number of things could happen. The draft went crazy Thursday night. There were all kinds of things that people didn't expect locally and nationally. I'm sure there were curveballs that Ryan Pohl says they run just endless simulations. So I'm sure they had seen it at one point or another, him and his admin team. But it's hard to know like what the options are going to be when you're talking about the 25th pick as opposed to years where they've been picking in the top 10.
Yeah, the Rams drafted a quarterback. I don't think anybody had that at number 13.
Well, a lot of people now say they did.
It's funny how that works.
All these crazy things happen in the draft, and then everybody's like, yeah, you know, I saw that coming. Nobody ever points out. No, but none of the national people are ever like, oh, man, look at this. I really whiffed on this.
I'll tell you this, though, Jason. If this is how the other half lives, sign me up for it. Covering a team that plays games that are important and has off seasons that are less important, great. Like that's what it should be. And
yeah, it's as boring of an off season as it gets for the Bears. No coaching search, no GM search. You know who the quarterback is. The draft, like you mentioned, Pat, is less of an event than it has been any other year for them. But there is this pivotal kind of silent factor of it all kind of, the boring off season is fine as long as something very exciting happens with Caleb Williams and some other guys, Romo Dunze, Luther Burden, etc. But your big offseason acquisition, the big splash of the 2026 offseason has to be that you've gotten way better at quarterback come September.
Yeah, that's what they're banking on because like you mentioned, they're no better on paper today than they were at the end of last season. Jason, we've got more draft coverage coming throughout the weekend. You're going to do a deep dive on Dylan Thienemann. We'll break down what the Bears do in rounds 2 and 3, and then 4 and 7, and they'll probably make some sort of trade to give themselves a pick sometime in rounds 5 or 6. You can follow us on social media and check us out at the Chicago Sun-Times. If you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.